The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Well, hello, everyone. I bet you guys weren't expecting a critical hit on this, of all days, a busy holiday weekend.
Right.
But you know what? I didn't feel right just abandoning you on this holiday weekend.
You really shouldn't set it up like that, because we're going to need an out eventually.
Okay, here's the out. We're just doing this so that we can pad our buffer between the next recording session, and we figured this was the perfect time to do it. So please go buy us some t-shirts. In the meantime, though, I was thinking, it's not me, but everybody loves how Rodrigo comes up with these great creative ways of skinning monsters and putting them into this world. So I thought, okay, what if, for those of you that are playing Dungeons & Dragons over this holiday weekend, what if you were looking for a holiday-themed skin adventure to put your team in? So Matthew and I are going to kind of play off each other and set up a hook, and Rodrigo's going to give us some monsters that we can play with in this world, okay? So, kind of Mad Libs. The first, of course, is the season. So this is a Christmas-themed encounter that you're building for your party. Matthew, add in another stipulation or another hook.
So it's Christmas-themed.
Yes. Why are the adventurers going on the adventure?
To find the stolen holiday gifts for the orphans of the Our Lady of Perpetual Torment.
Excellent. Perfect. Like you were reading my mind or the notes that I wrote to you earlier
today. Actually, you didn't send me any notes.
But we're on the same page. Okay, so do we need to put in a big reveal, Rodrigo, or do you have enough to give us some monsters to play with or anything like that?
Oh, certainly. Getting back stolen gifts from orphans is a good early, like, level five or six or something.
Yeah.
Kind of a story hook.
Okay.
Certainly. I would try to throw in a twist that basically what gets this whole thing started is that Our Lady of Perpetual Torment, a church that is very concerned with the needy. It's one of those dichotomous religions.
It's Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. It's the sister church across the road.
Right. Yes. Our Lady of Perpetual Motion is big on providing for the needy so that they will continue to reproduce and then continue to be people and continue moving.
Right.
Generally.
Right.
Often opposed by
refute entropy.
Yes. Often opposed by Our Lady of Entropy. But as it turns out, they went and solicited gifts from the nearby duchies. And so people.
Sorry.
You have to pass the duchies on your way into town.
So people sent in stuff for the kids. And one of the things that they sent out is probably some largely innocuous looking item that turns out to be magic. Some brigands get basically figure out that this has happened And rather than go in and look for a single thing, they go in and just steal everything.
Oh, those brigands.
So that would be what the players find out there after they go in and beat up the brigands is the reason why they did it. And then you can spin that in a lot of different ways. One of the ways that you can spin it is, we can't hand this thing back to a kid. It's actually an actively dangerous thing. So somebody's not going to get a gift. And then see the party tap dance while they try to figure out what they're going to get Timmy,
right,
who was the one who lost his plain wooden chalice.
Yes. And maybe the other hook is, we've got this big magic item that was mistakenly given.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to return it to the rightful owner.
Right. Who might not be the guy who owned it.
That's right. All right, so that's kind of a good setup, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-built encounter on the fly that you guys can incorporate this weekend in your Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
But here's the thing, Rodrigo.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be attacked by the drumline, and then, of course, the woodwinds come in, and then, of course, the guys in the uniforms start leaping and kicking, and then followed by the dancing ladies. And as they go through, you see they have that return, and eventually they end up fighting 5 gold rings.
I mean, you can certainly do that. You can set up a 12 Days of Christmas grand melee,
mm-hmm,
or really a dungeon crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And balance that between actual encounters, you know, fight some lords of leaping,
right,
like you said. Mm-hmm. You might end up in a chasm, and the only way to cross it are 5 golden rings suspended from the ceiling. Skills challenge, exactly.
There you go.
And then at the end you fight the rock or the roque,
ROC.
Yep. Who is sitting on top of a tree.
Yeah. Ooh, awesome. Do you have something else in mind?
One thing that I was thinking that would be awesome is what the modern holidays, and especially the time immediately after the holidays, has come to become, which is both shopping and returning gifts.
Right.
So I would think it would be awesome for adventurers to be constricted by some kind of creature like a mountain spirit without really asking them or anything, because, you know, mm-hmm, he's a big god and the players are like level 8 to 10. So he comes in, basically lures them into his cave and says, okay, well, these are the offerings I've gotten from all across the land. I don't like this one, this one, and this one. So I want you guys to go to this village, this village, this village, and get me something different. Basically, go return my gifts.
Mm.
And just so that you don't do anything weird, abracadabra, here's a magical thing where you cannot deviate from this adventure, or if you don't do what I want you to do in so many days, then you will just be teleported back here and I'll eat you.
Ooh, okay.
And go.
All right. Interesting. So we've got a couple of different hooks, a couple of different things that you can throw into your story, returning presents, saving Christmas, whatever it may be. Let's talk about what kind of monsters are we going to throw at our adventurers. We already said some brigands,
mm-hmm,
and I'm sure there's a base brigand that you can put in there.
There's lots of base brigands.
These guys can be wearing top hats levels, and they can probably sing carols or something.
As far as, you know, if you're going
to
be skinning
things. If this is a holiday Christmas thing, are we looking at monsters that are going to be ice-based, frost-based monsters?
It depends on what you want to emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you are going for a holiday theme, you can do a lot of things. You can make it just be snowy out and mm-hmm, keep describing the snowy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just brigands that are wearing fur-lined coats and things like that, as well as wolves, bears, animals that would be out
right
in that type of climate,
right,
would be fine. If you want to get a little bit more crazy with the Christmas decoration and motif stuff, you can have, you know, take a choker, which is a critter that like hangs out and literally just jumps on people and grapples them,
yeah,
or an assassin vine, or I don't know if they have assassin vines in fourth edition anymore, and, you know, reskin it as a tinsel monster.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, things like that. Obviously, there's plenty across levels of sentient vegetation that have plant-like powers.
Mm-hmm.
So killer Christmas tree, killer poinsettias, mm-hmm, all that stuff works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Any brute that you want to take and bring into this fight, you can just have as a fruitcake elemental. because you know those things are really tough. And that's actually not an original idea. There's a magic. There's a joke magic card.
Yeah.
I don't know if every year, but in a lot of years, Wizards of the Coast actually puts out a joke magic card, and one of them has been Fruitcake Elemental. And basically, what it does is, somebody else gains control of the Fruitcake Elemental. Yeah. It deals damage to them, and then that person, it gets passed around and deals damage to everyone, and nobody actually wants to have control of the Fruitcake Elemental. That's funny.
So, what are some of the monsters that you came up with? Some of the other ones that we can. Skin. Chokers. Let's say, do you have some snowmen that they can fight? How would you skin it, or what would you make a snowman?
Certainly, an ice giant is a classic. You know, they'll have all the powers there already. If you'll recall, I think Steven, you used. Probably not. These are a little too high level. There's a creature called a winter wolf.
Hmm.
Which can double either as a, you know, scary wolf that has magical ice powers, mm-hmm. all the way down to, you know, guard reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it just has basically enemies with cold powers are going to slow and hinder your players. That's basically the shtick of cold damage in D&D. I would warn you against making a full ice encounter for two reasons. One, it can get really slow if the monsters are very successful.
Right.
And two, usually monsters that have powers with effects on them also are dealing less damage. So it'll just make the encounter take twice as long no matter what.
Right.
And, you know, there are lots of different ways to incorporate any other thing. You know, obviously, in Christmas, there's a lot of candles.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in other holidays, there's a lot of candles.
But, right.
So, you know, fire is not out of the question. It really just depends on you basically think of a theme. You can do this both ways. You either find a monster that you like and try to find the Christmassy theme that it approximates most closely. Which is probably the way to do it.
Right.
Or you think to yourself, boy, I really want to have killer tinsel. Or I want to have, basically, when my players walk in, I want these Christmas trees to, like, extend all their fronds and start spinning around and take off in the air and then start throwing explosive sphere ornaments at people. So then you have to look for a flying artillery. Monster that does that for you, and I don't have one pulled up, but in that case you don't want to be too specific. You don't want to be like, well, it also has to be a plant that flies and shoots bombs at people. You're probably not going to find that,
so you just need something that's a flying artillery.
You reskin it, and then when your players are like, shouldn't this be taking more damage from fire, you're like, it's been fireproofed it's got that spray on it, it's flame retardant, that's why it smells so weird, because your uncle is really paranoid.
Yeah.
Of course, you can always have non-combat encounters that revolve around these things, like you know, somebody offering them your character some eggnog, and then you having to make an endurance
poison check,
to see if you can, just survive or not pass out from it, things like that. Obviously, for stories, there's tons of themes that are very Christmassy. You know, you look at stuff like A Christmas Carol.
So you got some ghost specters.
Okay. You have ghosts of Christmas past and stuff like that. For player characters, very often they're good and they don't try to not be good. And a lot of the time players don't take well to NPCs being like, you have been stupid.
Right.
Stop being so stupid. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend the whole like travel here and this is what you've done wrong, because really they're just going to try to beat up the ghosts and take their fat loots.
Right.
But something where the players are actually playing the role of the ghosts would actually be optimal.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the holiday theme, all fire-based attacks last 8 times as long as they should.
And the last one is really intense and bright.
Yep.
So one I was thinking of, what if Santa was actually the bad guy?
Right.
Right?
Yep.
His minions would be the elves.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, like, elf minions that are pretty easy to kill off? I mean, which one is the dentist elf?
Here's the thing. When you say elves in the context of D&D,
right.
You're talking about lanky,
right.
beautiful, long-haired,
sure.
very intense archer types.
Right.
So that's probably not the elves you want to invoke Santa's elves. Mm-hmm. There are gnomes, which are little short guys that live in the Feywild.
You can step on them pretty easy.
No, not really. Yeah. That's kind of the thing. And then the other ones are goblins, which are an uglier version of that and an already evil flavored version of that.
Okay. Well, that's a good
Wizards
good suggestion.
Wizards of the Coast actually, I believe, put together an adventure in a dungeon magazine back when it was around. And I think you can still find it online, where there's this big red dragon that is basically an evil Santa Claus.
Okay.
And it's a little bit more subtle so that you can drop it into an ongoing game.
Sure.
It's not beating you over the head that this is Santa. But a lot of the things that he does and a lot of the lore around him indicates that he's supposed to be a Santa Claus that you beat up.
Right. Well, I like the goblins as the as the elves. I like the red dragon as the Santa Claus.
Right.
Because, you know, he'd be kind of a hoarder.
Right.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Red. Okay. Reindeer, you know, said the wolves would make good reindeer.
Yeah. If you want to do it on the other way around, which the players need to help Santa, of course, building a ton of toys is a good skills challenge.
Right.
And things, and then delivering them, of course.
Right. What would be another? I like the vine. I like your plant-based ideas. I like the Christmas trees flying up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there just basically, I mean, what would you do for the marching soldiers, the toy soldiers?
The little toy soldiers? I would do something, again, you have to stop and think about it. Like, what makes these guys different from any other group?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your little toy soldiers would probably have to be minions. I would actually look into zombies.
Oh, okay.
And some of the zombie types, because a lot of what the zombies do is once you drop them to zero hit points, they stand back up and they're bloodied again. So if you're fighting toy soldiers, you know, you lop their heads off and they fall over, and then you see their cranks start to wind up again and they just stand back up.
That'd be pretty creepy. Good hook there. What? So could you use that same... Well, I like how you explained the zombie toy soldiers. That was really good. But I was thinking if you used something for the toy soldier, could you also skin it as the train with the caboose with square wheels that are coming after you, or the elephant with the pink,
or just like the general
the
aisle of misfit,
yeah, misfit toys.
I think there's a very creepy scene there of, you know, if you want to do a whole thing, and maybe you have to divorce it a little bit of other themes, you know, your aisle of misfit toys, you can have somebody who's a big badass artificer. You know, not necessarily your Randus type or your Thony type, because he's pretty nice, but your, like, Elminster from Forgotten Realms, like, somebody who, like, your Gandalf, maybe, type guy who's running around, having adventures, doing big things in the world.
Right.
And when he makes a construct that isn't up to par, he disposes of it. Or, you know, that doesn't do it for him, he disposes of it. So where do all those constructs go? Of course, the players find them. They find the cave of misfit toys, and then they have a choice as to, you know, whether they try to bring them out and rehabilitate them and figure out what they do. Of course, at some point they have to be attacked by them,
right?
Before the big creepy giant doll headed spider monster comes out and shows them that they shouldn't be doing that.
So what would you
be getting my movies confused here?
What would you do with the big song and dance number that always occurs in a Christmas special?
I think a big song and dance number is a great skills challenge.
Now, we've got a lot of emails from people that are saying, I'm having such a trouble getting my people to draw out and role play.
Mm-hmm.
Song and dance number where they have to actually get up and sing a verse. Do a high kick.
That can bring its own problems. There are few things that get a shy player deeper into his shell the way that
having to stand up in front of everybody.
The way that singing does. If your players are naturally okay with singing, then by all means. Again, you know, you want to be sure that you're incorporating everything. So, like, if the Torkoal tones, the current Turkletones are having a big song and dance number, then of course Orym can use his prestidigitation to do like fireworks type,
right.
You know,
confetti cannons from the side.
What is it called? The overture.
1812 overture.
Yeah, exactly. You know, obviously, Torque being very athletic, is able to do high kicks and jump around and hang from things. And,
pirouette.
Yep. Like swing from chandeliers while he's singing. Ket, very charismatic, also able to, you know, sing a nice baritone to mezzo soprano high notes,
right.
And Randus, of course, rolls DJing the whole thing.
I was going to say rolls a one, and
the lights go out.
Yeah, the Christmas pageant is ruined.
Yeah,
thank
just
you,
like
Randus.
Feedback,
Randus, you
feedback
ruined Christmas.
Through all the speakers. And
the time Randus ruined Christmas.
No
That's
longer
the name of your encounter.
Your auto tune drops out, and all of the phantoms that have gathered to watch your choir all of a sudden become very angry and offended.
Mm-hmm. Any other, I guess you could go with angels, specters again? Or
well, there are actual angels. So if you want to throw angels into it, there are literally statted out angels, but they're, you know, D&D angels are very specifically their own thing. They're not Christmas angels. They're not cherubs.
Right.
They're, you know, big, mean guys without faces and, you know, have big flaming wings.
But you can skin them,
you can do it however you want.
And so finally, any other monsters we need to cover that you might want to think about skinning and how you might skin them?
Maybe if I knew what people specifically were looking for. But, you know,
I think we've covered a lot of the Christmas-themed ideas.
Yep. And we even, dipped into
some
other holidays.
We need to have, a giant creature that bounces. Because, you know, bumbles do bounce.
Yeah. Matthew, what about wrapped up presents? What would you make those? Would those be trapped treasure
mimics.
Chests?
Mimics. They're mimics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know a mimic is just something that looks like something an adventurer would want and then eats them.
Yeah, and eats them. Yeah. That's a good one right there.
Carrion crawlers.
Yeah.
And, don't forget that Christmas Jello is the gelatinous cube.
Yeah. Gelatinous cube, exactly.
Yeah.
With
you can actually see the
little fruit particles.
Actually,
in it.
They're not fruit particles. That's a skull.
Yep,
and that's a small rat, and there's a liver.
Yeah. You can always just yes, grandma got digested by a gelatinous cube.
And there's your song and dance number.
Of course, you can always just take things that are Christmassy and put them in strange and awkward locations, like Christmas in the Shadowfell.
Right.
It's like, it looks a lot like The Nightmare Before Christmas, probably.
What is this? Yes. What's this?
Damage to it.
All right, so now we have the adventurers have gone, and they've gotten the presents back. They've saved Santa or defeated evil Santa, depending on which way you're going.
Possibly both.
Oh, evil Santa, good Santa.
Right. Reinstate the good Santa.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. The Christmas that almost wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Or for the past 1,000 years, there has not been Santa Christmas.
There you go.
Because he's been trapped in
his evil brother,
carton.
Santa Claus.
Yes.
So we got to reward our adventurers somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some good Christmassy rewards? Candy cane. What could you use with a candy cane?
Don't
say elven granola because I'll punch you.
Right. Certainly a candy cane makes for a good wand.
Mm-hmm.
Or a rod.
Okay.
Which are largely the same kind of thing.
Right.
Yep.
Somebody has a maybe a golden harp.
Right. Obviously, there actually are statted out magic harps for bards.
Okay.
Definitely, if you end up with any of the items from the Christmas song, you know, if there are 5 adventurers and you end up with 5 golden rings,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can certainly play it that way.
Maybe.
And that one would be a good one because then you can continue your game without constantly referencing that your warlock uses a candy cane for to shoot people. Although, again, some people are into that. But if you want to have this crazy Christmassy game and then go back to your regular adventures.
Certainly these would have to be one shot. I mean, you wouldn't want to add your candy cane wand of +3 accuracy into somebody's
why not?
Sometimes going to roll around and they're going to reach in and they're going to have a big sticky wand.
It depends on how you do your game. I wouldn't do something like this for Critical Hit if I didn't think that I had enough control over it to make it go away if I thought it was distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why I wouldn't do it anyway, because I know my players, and it would be massively distracting. It's hard enough to keep you guys on topic as it is.
I guess the going back to monsters for just a minute, we missed the Grinch.
Right.
Who would you use as a Grinch?
I think the Grinch, you never fight the Grinch. I think the Grinch probably has minions. The Grinch has already come and gone. He's already stolen Christmas by right. the time the players show up.
Mm.
Also, potentially, the Grinch is this unstoppable Christmas-stealing force.
Mm.
And your skill challenge is the players trying to safeguard the town so that the Grinch can't get in.
There you go.
If they fail, he gets in. If they win, he probably still gets in, but maybe they manage to trap him.
Yeah.
And then can then interrogate him, talk to him, figure out what he actually wants.
Yeah. Poor Susie Who.
Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy Lou Who. What would you do for the Whovians? Just regular citizens, NPCs?
Probably just regular citizens. Again, it's a fantasy world, so you can have things that basically look like the Whos.
Okay. So going back to rewards, if you were fighting the trees that spin around and throw their baubles at you,
mm-hmm.
a reward could be jewels or
right. Or orbs. You can crush those
Christmas balls.
Those Christmas balls into residuum, into magical materials.
Dust, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else, Matthew? Anything other rewards that you might hand out to the players?
I don't know. I mean, as far as if they're actually holiday type rewards, you could also, you know, the old trick of, it turns out there's only three charges on that wand.
Oh, there you go.
To where if, you know, they have their items and the items work, and then after
you forgot to buy the batteries and
well, and there are expendable things like potions and things like that. So you can give somebody the spice rum of fire breathing.
Mm, mm-hmm.
You know, something like that where there's actually an item where you take a swig and then you get a breath attack.
Yeah.
So you just literally flavor it as spice rum. Spice rum.
Excellent.
And after January 1st, none of those things work anymore. Because the holiday spirit is gone.
Yep.
But next year.
Yep, they'll power back up.
Now, I know everybody loves me talking about this, but you know in World of Warcraft? They actually do that where they have, there are some adventurous things. Like you go and you meet the Santa Claus character, mm-hmm. and he's like, I sure could sure go use for some cookies. And you go running off and you gather the ingredients and you make a cookie and an eggnog. And then he gives you a present. And some of it might be snowballs that you just throw to have fun, but mm-hmm. you can also keep them in your sack year round. So the middle of summer, you can pull out your snowball and hit people. Mm-hmm. Some of it, though, expires.
Yeah.
You said snowballs in your sack.
Yes, I did say snowballs in my sack.
Right.
Well, you're just making it too easy now.
And lots of games that have, you know, constant content mm-hmm. do stuff like that. I know.
Hey, I remember going back to playing Doom and Duke Nukem on the holiday. What was that? Wasn't Duke Nukem and it wasn't Doom, but it was another one of those kill the evil cult.
Wolfenstein?
No, not Wolfenstein. It was better than that. It was like kill the evil cult.
Diablo? No, Diablo's not really a first-person shooter.
But right at Christmas Eve, all of a sudden, all the hooded monks turned into like Christmas-themed things.
Right.
And it was snowing, and instead of the dreaded Doom music, it was holiday music that was piped through. It was really kind of cool. I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, listeners, anything else? Rodrigo, that you want to add, or Matthew, you want to add for our holiday-themed encounter, or ways to think up a holiday encounter that you can play with your friends this holiday season?
Yeah, I have one thing to say. If you decide that you want to do a holiday-themed encounter, make sure you know your players and know what they're comfortable with. Yeah. The holidays are, believe it or not, also a religious part of the year.
Yes.
So you might have players that are uncomfortable by it. Make sure that you consider that they're going to be okay with stuff like this, then go for it. Otherwise, try to hold back on it.
There you go.
And make sure that you have at least one person tell your warlock to be careful with that wand or he'll shoot his eye out with it.
Yep.
There you go.
And that is one thing that there is just a ton of references that you can put and just literally build into the game.
Yep. Exactly.
You can have somebody where the only way that they can,
there's a big wave of fudge coming at you,
the only way that they can make it through a dungeon is if first somebody goes through wearing a giant pink bunny suit.
Yes.
You know, just pick a holiday movie, you can basically base a campaign around it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, listeners, hopefully you've gotten a little bit of fun out of this holiday treasure. We actually weren't going to do this We were going to do a skip week, but we thought, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Because we're all drunk.
Yes, we are. Woohoo! Happy holidays, Rodrigo.
Hey, you too.
Happy holidays, Matthew.
Word.
And happy holidays to you, our fine listeners around the world. And here's hoping that your holiday is the best holiday, regardless which holiday you're celebrating.
Hooray!
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.